Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooke Fagnan. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are and why we are here and what we may become if you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio.
Hello.
Did you know you have existed for many thousands of years? The thought of reincarnation escapes most people, as it did me until I read this book. Your Never-Ending Life is the first in the Universal Learning Series from Sandy Andrew. Search your higher mind, find your soulmate, and know that you are never alone in this world. The treasures of the eternities are yours, and your first step is to read the book. Clip the banner for Your Never-Ending Life by Sandy Andrew at X Squared Radio and order the book today. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two of the series that are sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com. Get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive, even if we have a few misstarts while we're solving technical difficulties on the road. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth in here. So we might go a little past your imagination, but don't worry, you'll be safe with us. The solar wind is 447.3 kilometers per second right now. Sunspot 947 just appeared, but it is already breaking up. The sun hasn't been this quiet in quite some time. Solar scientists are working very hard to figure out what's going on with the sun. A new solar telescope has been commissioned and has returned some spectacular images of the star's behavior between the surface and the corona. These images are amazing. We'll try to have them posted at the website at X Squared Radio. Back in the fall, Nobel Intent covered the launch of the Solar B probe, a joint operation between NASA, the ESA, and the Japanese Space Agency. Just recently, the probe, named Hinode, that's Japanese for sunrise, has sent back detailed images and data about the sun's magnetic field and related releases of energy and matter into interstellar space. Solar flares and related coronal mass ejections are explosions that send tons of high-energy charged particles toward the Earth that can easily disrupt radio communication, destroy satellite antenna, and endanger the lives of astronauts outside Earth's protective ionosphere. It is believed that solar flares occur when the sun's magnetic field lines break and reconnect. The weakening of the magnetic field allows highly energetic charged particles to escape. This energy then accelerates protons, electrons, and heavier ions outward into the depths of space, forming solar flares. Hinode is equipped with a trio of sensors, an optical telescope, an X-ray telescope, and an extreme ultraviolet imaging spectrometer. When all three pieces of the equipment work together, they reveal a picture of a very turbulent sun. There was an earthquake in Japan this morning at around 12 a.m. One woman was killed, 85 injured, and there was a tsunami warning issued. If you are planning to travel to Japan today, there might be delays, especially if you're flying into Tokyo. Tonight's broadcast will be posted on the X Squared Radio website for free. You will not have to have a subscription to listen to this program. We'll tell you that at the beginning of each hour tonight. If your radio program is not carrying all 3 hours of X Squared Radio, be sure to get a hold of us, give us the call letters, and we'll do the rest. Last week we had David Sarita on the program. This was such an amazing program. We are going to run it again on April 1st, as I will be in Tibet with a group led by Maureen St. Germain. My interview with her will run April 8th as an archive. On the 15th of April, we will have a live program with Don Miguel Ruiz kicking off our first hour. Then we will have two surprise guests. I promise you it will be awesome. Well, today, March 25th, we kick off the much-anticipated Spirit Race. This is an event designed to awaken and inspire people to their full potential. Some of you had an idea what you wanted to be when you grew up. Perhaps somewhere along the way, you forgot about your dream. You turned into an adult, or you became what someone wanted you to become. You believed what someone told you about yourself and proceeded with that mode. We call that scripting. Those of you operating under any kind of concept about who you are, this program is for you. What we are about to introduce to you is perhaps the greatest single tool for unlocking the secret in the world today. Somewhere along the path of your development, you made a mistake. You may have said, "I'll never do that again." You may have said, "I'll never allow that to happen again." Well, in reality, what happened is you ensured that this event will happen over and over again. You'll learn tonight what some call clearing is nothing compared to the real thing. You are about to learn what it really means and how it can really change your life. Many of you have been to workshops of various types. You may have talked to people who were intuitive or had various little rituals done on your behalf. You may have come away with what many call a workshop high. But in a few days or weeks, you are right back into the same scripts you were practicing before you went to the workshop. What we are going to discuss tonight is much more than that. This is a life change. When you step forward for this, you better be prepared to change, because you will never be the same. My guest tonight is a top-notch author. She is a teacher and a powerhouse clearing practitioner. She literally wrote the book on clearing and is recognized by many of the most famous clearing practitioners to be the best in the world today. Now, she would shy away from that superlative, but those who have had a chance to sit in her chair will attest to the words I'm about to use. This is the woman to whom the clearing practitioners go for clearing. This is the one who taught the teachers. This is one of the original designers of the modern practice. She defined dynamis as the life energy in every living thing. She has a profound distaste for philosophy texts, which can be read only by scholars, so she will present this program in plain English. She is Enid Vienne. This is the woman to whom the clearing practitioners go for clearing. She is the one who taught the teachers. She is one of the original designers of the modern practice. She defined dynamis as the life energy in every living thing. She has a profound taste for philosophy texts, which can be read only by scholars. So she will present this program in plain English. She is Enid Vienne, and please join me in welcoming her. Welcome, Enid. How are you?
I'm really good.
Excellent.
It's great to hear you.
Well, we've had a couple of technical difficulties tonight, but we're going to put it all together. Enid, this is a program where the past meets the future in a simple formula we call X squared. When we multiply the two together, we get the present, and it's always positive in here. First of all, for our listeners, can you define dynamis and tell us how you came up with this description?
Okay. Dynamis is the life energy we all emanate. And originally in the Greek, it meant the life energy of a god. Now, as time went on, they kind of redefined it, and it came to mean the life energy that everyone emanates. Now, when it was being defined as the life energy of God, of a god, then it meant that the god of war put his personal energy into arrows and various other implements of war, making it special and making it so that the god was with you, literally with you, when you were on the field of battle. And as time went on, it came to mean the life energy that we all emanate every time we breathe, every time we are talking, every time we are alive.
So this life energy, most adults I know don't have a clue what it means to be alive. I'm reminded of the episode of Taxi, where Jim and Lotka were strategizing how Lotka could approach a beautiful woman for the first time in a bar where they're at. And so Jim tells him what to say and go up there and make his desire known and make her acquaintance. And a few moments later, Lotka returns to Jim and he says, she does not even know that I am alive. And somewhat dazed and confused, and yet with the same profound wisdom that Jim has, he says, well, can't she tell by the way you move around and breathe and stuff? And that's my point. Most people only think that they are alive because they move around and breathe. What does it mean to have your life energy, your dynamis, flowing?
Well, okay. If your dynamis isn't flowing, the body dies. Literally dies. Doctors have questioned this for a long time. Why do two people with the same exact illness, why does one live and the other die? And you can say, well, the one had a better immune system, but doctors and scientists have concluded that it is the will to live, and the will to live is intensely connected with the dynamis, the life force.
So is it like self-preservation, or is it a will to be aware, or what is it?
It's simply the amount of life force that the person has. Everybody has different amounts. And you can actually increase your amounts of life force by decreasing your stress and increasing your well-being by good diet and ethical behavior and things like that. But basically, some people are born with huge quantities and some people are not. I mean, there is no equality here. You either got it or you don't.
Ah, so each person has like a different amount of dynamis in them. And so what does it mean to not have your dynamis flowing?
Well, essentially, you're going to put a lot of faith in doctors because you're going to get sick.
I see. So what prevents the dynamis from flowing in the average person, assuming that they're born with an amount of dynamis and it's not seeming to flow? They're not able to apply it in their lives. They're kind of stuck, or they keep going around and around and around doing the same things. What causes that?
Well, first of all, one gets stuck in old patterns that one thinks were successful. These old patterns might have been successful when you're 3, but they're really not successful when you're 33.
Wow, that early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are not.
Well, do people get some kind of a blockage, or is there, I mean, are we born with, by the time we're 3, we're pretty much done, or is there a way to get it flowing again?
Well, there's many ways to get it flowing again, but let's take up your... You
are you there?
Three questions in one. Yes. Can you hear me?
I seem to have lost Enid again.
I'm here.
We're having some technical difficulties with the phones, and I'm not really sure what's going on there, and I apologize. We kind of built up to this, and it's not working very well. What we're trying to figure out here is that the dynamis is a person's life energy, and occasionally what happens is people live their lives in such a way that the dynamis becomes blocked. They have a event happen in their past that prevents them from moving forward, and they end up repeating the same error over and over again. And what we're trying to discover tonight with Enid on the phone is how to identify those blockages and how to clear them away.
Brooks, can you hear me?
So anyway, that's what we're working on, and we're still trying to get Enid back on the phone, and we will continue to try that. One of the questions that people often ask is, okay, well, how far back should I go to remove these blockages? Do I have to go back? Do I have to go back to when I'm age 3, or do I have to go back to a traffic accident that I had, or a divorce that I went through, or a job that I lost? Do I have to go back to a traumatic experience that I really don't want to relive in order to clear away these blockages? How did I get a script written in my personal history that keeps me from moving through this? Well, it's difficult to say how that blockage occurs. It happens differently with each person. And that's why it's not universal for how each person can solve that on their own. Most people cannot. Most people end up repeating those errors over and over again. So we will keep trying to get a hold of our producer to see if we can get Enid back on the line with me. Think about ourselves, the more we kind of chase our own tails. Some people have a lot of dynamists and a lot of inner energy, and they're able to work through things on their own and move forward. But most of us don't have that ability. We need somebody who's trained in being able to clear away these things that have been blocking our energy flow. When we can't flow this life energy, then it slows us down. It makes us inefficient. We end up wasting so much time worrying about, are we going to repeat the same mistake again, that we, sure enough, go ahead and repeat that same mistake again. We'll just keep trying with our producer to try to get our guest back on the air. So far, we've not been successful in doing that. I don't really know why.
You can't hear me, can you?
Dropping out.
No, it's your line, Brooke. I promise you.
So what do we do when we get there? What do we do when we get to this past event?
Folks, as you probably know, this is going to be a great one for the bloopers because Dr. Agnew actually cannot hear us right now, and it is his own earpiece because the guest is trying to communicate with him, and he can't hear the guest. And we're both talking.
If there is a certain amount of energy on that answer.
Brooks, okay. The only thing I can do, folks, at this moment is turn him down a bit, and I'm going to pull him off the air, and then we're going to bring him back on the air. And I don't know what's going to happen. This is Internet Radio, folks. Stick around. It only gets better at PBS.
Well, I think we're back on the air. Enid, are you there? Do I have Enid on the phone?
Yes, you did.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. And you can hear me and I can hear you.
Finally.
All right. Well, audience, this is one for the blooper file. Now, we've been on the air about 17 months, and we run a really tight board here at X Squared Radio. We're right to the second, right to the minute. So this is so uncharacteristic of X Squared Radio. This is going to make the blooper of the lifetime here. I don't know what the last question is that you heard. I was talking. I was talking about how blockages occur, how people can't.
Well, just like that.
Yes, just like that. Right. One person's talking and the other person can't hear. A lot of people think that they're smart enough that they can take care of their own life problems, that they can figure it out for themselves. Do you meet a lot of people that don't do this very well?
Yes, I do. A lot of people, it's mostly the people that don't seek help that think they can sort it out for themselves. And you know what? Sometimes they're right. But more often than not, they're not right. Because for most of us, we lose our objectivity when we are trying to sort things out for ourselves. And so
we get subjective because we're prejudiced. We sabotage ourselves, don't we?
Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why people need an external person to assist, because otherwise they are inclined to sabotage themselves and they're inclined to basically stack the deck in the way they want it to be stacked. And this, of course, means that you can't get an objective point of view, which is why clearing and an objective person is very helpful. Now, the difference between dynamism and other philosophies, you know, that people go to various therapists and so on, the problem with most of them is that they are very, very inclined to tell you what you ought to be thinking instead of trying to educe out of you, which means to bring forward your own truths. And you know what? My truths aren't going to work for another person.
Well, so it sounds to me like the classic
psychologists, how we call them, they want to put their ideas into your head instead of letting your ideas flow out of you.
Yes, that's exactly the point.
And then they diagnose you and prescribe something for you.
Usually, yes, that's the case. So what I'm saying is, you know, every person has his own life energy. Every person has his own ability to handle his own problems. They just need somebody to sort of tweak them a little bit so that they look in the right direction. They don't need a lot of advice.
Well, how far back do we go when we're searching for this blockage?
It might be this lifetime. It might be other lifetimes. It just depends on what the individual needs.
Wow. So you...
Not everybody has lived multiple lifetimes. But some people
have. That's a great revelation. I've had one other guest that talked a little bit about that, wrote a book about it. But let's pontificate a little bit. When you say a person has lived multiple lifetimes, does the person accumulate experience from these lifetimes?
Absolutely. They may not know where it's coming from always. You know?
Wow. So what do we do when we get there? How do we recognize what these blockages are? I mean, if you're talking about going back to another lifetime, you might have been... a blacksmith or a soldier or an artist. How do you recognize what the blockage is?
You know, it sort of comes up naturally when you work with people and just let them develop whatever is developing for them. It's really hard to say, you know, it's going to be this way or that way because it varies so much.
Yeah, because everybody has their own life experiences. Everybody has their own life energy. Before we get into the science of removing these blockages, we'll talk about that in the third hour. Let's talk about some of the scripts and how we can recognize if we have them.
Well, everybody has scripts. The question is, are they your own scripts? And
right.
Or are they scripts that you have borrowed from somebody else? The ones you've borrowed from somebody else are the ones that usually get you in trouble because they're not yours. And they're usually because somebody has told you what to think and you have thought, oh, well, this person seems to know what he's talking about. And then you accept scripts that don't work for you because they're not your own. And only your own scripts really work for you.
Well, it seems every time I turn on late night TV or I go to the bookstore and look in the self-help section, I see a long line of people that are making a lot of money writing scripts for people.
Precisely.
Is that something that's going on in our day?
Yes, of course it's going on. It's been going on for centuries. How could it be otherwise, you know?
Why? I mean, obviously it's fueled with billions of dollars from these people that are trying to buy books for self-help. Is it because people avoid writing their own script and they just want to borrow the script from other sources because it's easy?
Not usually. It's because in our educational system and our Western way of life, we are basically taught that we learn everything from others. I mean, we're taught this. And it's not necessarily true.
Hmm.
I mean, the best knowledge one has really often comes from within.
I know in researching for my books, I did some research on mathematicians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they couldn't get script from anyone else because
all known math
was done, and they needed something new. So
yes.
They really had to search within themselves to find it.
Yes, that's very true. That this is why I have such a great respect for mathematicians, because they basically are going into the wild blue yonder, you know, where nobody has really trodden before, and that's what makes them so special.
I see. Well, some of the scripts that we see in modern times, and I meet people that do this all the time, and I don't really know how to advise them. I'm not a clearing practitioner, but one of the most common cyclic failures I see out there is from people who appear to have multiple marriages or multiple partners, and they always seem to end up with the same type of disaster every time.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that people repeat their bad choices in partners?
Well, they do it because, number one, they haven't isolated what's going on. I mean, if they isolated what was going on, they would stop it immediately. And they run into various and sundry people that say, well, it's this and it's that and it's the other. And they go, well, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And before you know it, they are so confused that they don't know where to look anymore. And this really tangles them up.
Wow. And you wrote a book called Mood Swings, and you mention a certain type of individual in this book called a wounded bird. And
yes.
Then you explain different types of wounded birds. Help us understand what a wounded bird is so we might be able to arouse our own faculties a little bit here.
Well, when I talk about wounded birds, I'm talking about people who have been so injured that they no longer trust anyone. So they feel that they must destroy people before they get them. It's kind of like a really nasty syndrome where the person feels that no one is trustworthy and therefore they must look after number one. How often have you heard that?
Wow. I've heard that a lot. So a wounded bird is someone who can't trust anyone.
They're hurt. They are still bleeding from old wounds.
Wow. And so they repeat the same scenario over and over again, just like a wounded bird on the ground.
Exactly. A wounded bird on the ground will do the same things that wounded birds have done for centuries. They will flap their wings, try and draw away from their little ones. They will try and protect them. They will do whatever they have to do, they think, to protect their little ones from harm, which isn't always the smartest thing to do. But they will keep doing the same thing over and over because it's in birds, it's instinctive. In humans, it's not. We have long ago moved beyond instinct.
Well, I hope so. I do.
Well, we have. I mean, it's obvious. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't, under stress, go back there.
Hmm.
And
well, another thing I see people packing around with them is a soul wound. What is a soul wound?
Well, that's what wounded birds have a lot of. They have been injured so badly
that they can no longer really think clearly when anything reminds them of the injury that they received. They become kind of stuck in the same old pattern that may have worked for them at one time, but isn't working for them any longer.
Hmm. You know, when I think of the concept of, repentance, as mentioned many hundreds of times in the New Testament, let's say,
mm-hmm.
I think what they're talking about is dumping these soul wounds off of our internal record so we can begin flowing life's energy again. Why do people persist in carrying around their soul baggage?
Because they think they've learned a lesson from it. Unfortunately, these can be very bad lessons. These can be lessons that if you really thought about it, you would reevaluate in a heartbeat. But because you have paid for them in blood, sweat, and tears, they have become valuable.
They're very hard to give up, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very hard to give up. And people hang on to them as if their life depended on it, which it probably did at one time.
Well, how far back can a soul wound go? I mean,
I have no idea. I mean, I have worked with people, and you know what? I can't say if past lives are true or false. All I can say is when they come up for a person, and you ignore it, that person gets worse.
Wow.
If they come up for a person and you say, well, tell me about that and let's have a look at this or whatever you say, and let the person really look at it, inspect it, things are different. They actually start the process of recovery. And the process of recovery basically is examining the things that you've been doing that are no longer serving you.
I see. So when we get back, do we have to go back to the source moment of the wounding event to clear it, or can we just think about it?
Now, thinking about it doesn't work. Because, and now here I'm going to get a little technical, if that's okay?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Okay. In the physical universe, we have an old, old rule that says two objects cannot occupy the same space, right?
Right.
Now, when you are trying to recover from an old soul wound, you have to re-experience it. And when you re-experience it fully and enough times until you get it exactly the way it was, because, you know, under stress our memories get a little hazy. Okay, so it takes maybe a few passes through a few times before we actually get this correct. And then, all of a sudden, we get it perfect. And when we get it perfect, it disappears because two objects cannot occupy the same space in the spiritual universe either.
Really? So the idea is, if you want to use physics, is to apply the observation effect. You're going to go back and you're going to apply a crystal clear observation on an event that we might be remembering rather hazily or with some prejudice or with some favoritism.
Exactly.
And that once we observe it clearly, it just dissolves.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So you're applying physics in clearing. I like
it. Absolutely. This is not some kind of airy-fairy, wave a few flags around and hope something happens kind of a thing. This is different.
Wow. Well, we have actually blown through our first hour, and we're coming up on our first break. And I do apologize for the technical difficulties in the first hour, but trust me, it'll be a favorite in the blooper archives. We all take it with good humor, even though I had to dig my headphones out of the trash after the last one. But that's okay. I'm clearing it right now. I have no energy on it. It's a lot of fun. So are there any other states of humanity that you encounter when people come to clearing for the first time? And I guess what I'm asking is when people come to you for clearing for the first time, they don't have any idea what they're about to face.
No, but most of them are scared spitless.
Right.
Because they know, we all know in our heart of hearts that we have done things that we are not proud of. And they know that we're going to have to look at things that scared us the first time. So why wouldn't they scare us the second time? I mean, it takes a certain fortitude and a certain courage to embark on a real clearing, as opposed to other things I've seen where people just basically are trying to bypass the fact that it takes whatever it takes. You know, you can't just wave a magic wand and have somebody suddenly be miraculously well. It doesn't work that way. They have to work at it. They have to be extremely brave because you're facing your own demons, you know.
Wow. Well, it sounds like ultimately much more productive and permanent than a pill.
Well, I certainly hope it is. otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
I gotcha. Well, we are we're up on our first break. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio. Don't go away. In our second hour, we're going to talk about this past life process and the nature of the human soul. You might have forgotten. Don't go away. You have existed for many thousands of years. The thought of reincarnation escapes most people, as it did me until I read this book. Your Never-Ending Life is the first in the Universal Learning series from Sandy Andrew. Search your higher mind, find your soulmate, and know that you are never alone in this world. The treasures of the eternities are yours, and your first step is to read the book. Click the banner for Your Never-Ending Life by Sandy Andrew at X Squared Radio and order the book today. There is something about to happen to the Earth. You know it. You can feel it. Well, the creators of the Kill Shot have collected the evidence for you in a stunning new documentary called The Horizon Project. The first DVD is now in print, and you can get it by clicking on...
who lived on the earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm. Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in the series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. Statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Your host, Brooks Agnew. Sorry for the technical difficulties. That's the way it gets sometimes when you're on the road. That's just one of the things that we live with. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Tibet, so you are going to have to be listening to an archive. And on April 1st, you're going to listen to the archive with David Sarita. And on April 8th, you're going to listen to the archive with Maureen St. Germain. These are both excellent programs. You're really going to enjoy them. Now, this may sound a little like an infomercial, and maybe it is. We're going to open our in-office phone lines for this program. You can call toll-free to Bellwave LLC and talk to Michael Manning, our in-house clearing practitioner. If you call, you'll need to mention that you heard about this on X Squared Radio in order to get the discount and the free screening. Now, you'll be able to call even if you're listening to this program as an archive. Now, this office can only handle 48 clients a year, and here's why. This is not a workshop. This is one-on-one clearing with a trained clearing practitioner. You'll spend about 8 hours a day for 4 days working on a guided process to wade through these blockages you may have in your past. This will allow your dynamis, your life energy, to flow. There is a satisfaction guarantee, which you will never see in any workshop. If you are ready for a life change, then you need to call. If you are listening to this in an archived version or live, you can still get the same offer. But you do need to mention that you heard about it on X Squared Radio and that you are calling for Bellwave. That number, toll-free, is 877-222-1492. That's toll-free, and you'll ask for the Bellwave program as heard on X Squared Radio. And our lines are open right now. So if you want to call, you won't be on the air, but you will be talking to a clearing practitioner if the lines are open. So you can call that number. Again, it is 877-222-1492. Enid Vian has a website. I'll get that from her in just a second. She has multiple books, CDs and manuals in publication. She is the recognized authority in clearing in the world today. She is here with us to help launch the spirit race, regardless of our technical difficulties tonight. Join us by calling toll-free and asking your questions during the program in the final hour. Right now, we are using both phone lines in order to surpass our technical difficulties. But in the final hour, you'll be able to call the toll-free numbers at X Squared Radio or BBS Radio Network and get through. But you can call the toll-free number to inquire about clearing, 877-222-1492. Enid, what is your website?
Dynamism.org.
Okay. All right, so dynamism.org. That's where you'll have to go, and you can learn about the books, the CDs, the manuals, everything that you need right there. Enid, many in my, well, in my study of ancient records, these records might be called scriptures to some. I keep running across the description of the human soul as eternal. In hundreds of earlier versions of the Bible, you can read of reincarnation, but then somewhere around the 5th century, it just disappears from the record. Is the human soul eternal?
I am sure it is. That does not necessarily mean that everyone has past lives, though. People kind of arrive whenever they arrive.
Wow.
So that, you know, if you say to some people they've lived before and they haven't, it can really upset them.
I see. Well, I mean, what is the difference between a soul who has had multiple mortalities and one who has, say, lived in a spirit existence or a non-mortal existence for a long, long time, and now they've decided to be mortal? What is the difference in that person?
Well, you'd have to ask them. I can't answer that question.
Wow. So is
because
there a
honestly,
difference?
Honestly, I don't know. It may be very different from one being to another.
So many people do live multiple mortal lives.
Well, let's put it this way. Many people in clearing suddenly start saying, I am seeing myself in this scenario that it certainly isn't this life. I wonder if I saw it in a movie. And maybe they did and maybe they didn't. And you know what? If it's got energy on it and it's affecting their lives, who cares?
Yeah. What difference does it make? I mean, if it's affecting them and they've got a real clear memory that doesn't jive with where they grew up or what they do for a living or who they've married, you've got to treat that as a real input, don't you?
Absolutely. Because if you don't, then you will never know if you did your best for that person or you did your worst for that person.
Wow. Well, in my opinion, and I haven't had any experience in the psychological or psychiatric world at all, not
neither.
As a patient or as a student. But
I mean, I avoid that kind of like the plague.
Yeah, but I, as far as I know, and I do know a couple of psychologists, and I know one psychiatrist, they don't really accept if someone comes to them and says, gee, I keep having this feeling that I've lived in the 1800s and I'm in the middle of the frontier punching cows, they don't really accept that as a real experience for that person. They try to diagnose them and talk them out of it. Is that the right way to go?
That's absolutely the wrong way to go. And the worst part about that, you know, is that they drug them. Oh, they go, oh, you're deluded. Well, maybe they are, and maybe they aren't. But it certainly is an extremely arrogant way of dealing with things, is to assume that just because something doesn't fit your worldview, that the person is demented.
Well, that sounds an awfully lot like religion. I think historically we, as explorers or soldiers or crusaders, we come across a community or even a country, and they have different statues, they have different rituals, they have different songs, and the occupiers or the conquerors automatically make an assumption that whatever it is they're worshiping or whatever it is they're ritualizing must be wrong because it doesn't fit into the authorities' mold, which is a little like the medieval church.
Yes.
Well, modern
day science. I don't
know
what to say to that except yes.
Yeah, modern day science is just like that. We struggle for peer review on our ideas, and when it's not, you know, when peer review is not forthcoming, then all of a sudden our ideas aren't legitimate. They don't fit into the geological or the physical or the chemical mold that society has for those kinds of ideas. It's got to be the same for human behavior.
Well, of course it is. And if you ever want to really see how that is, just think about Galileo.
Well, let's talk about him.
Okay. Well, Galileo was the chap that said that, I forget exactly the whole thing, but there was a whole deal about the world being flat and that the universe revolved around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, he thought, I guess the church believed that the earth was the center of the universe because man was here, and so everything revolved around the earth. The sun revolved around the earth.
Yeah. Well, when Galileo came up with his theories that said that's not accurate, what did they do to him?
Well, I think Galileo had a little instrument in his favor called a telescope. And I think what he tried to do is get the church to just lean down and look in the eyepiece.
Well, they threw him in jail, okay? And
wow.
They left him there for a very long time.
Did he ever deny what he saw in the telescope, or did they just finally get tired of keeping him in jail?
As far as I know, he died there.
Wow.
I could be wrong about that. My history is a little vague on it.
I'm glad we don't do that to modern-day society scientists. What we do today is we just ignore them until they run out of money and get a real job.
Actually, no. Generally, what is done is that they are drugged out of all sensibility by somebody that thinks that they are, like, having a really bad day and need to be essentially given various and sundry psychiatric drugs so that they can be quiet.
Wow. So they no longer have that extra perspective that doesn't seem to fit the paradigm.
Precisely. This, to my mind, is, you know, just the same. I don't see it as having changed very much since the days of Galileo.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't changed much. Well, let me ask you a question. How are memories retained, if we can? How are they retained from life to life?
Well, I don't know that there's a good explanation to that, except that some people simply seem to come in with them. It's like they immediately have memories. I'll give you an example of this of my own. When I was a little kid, my big cousin took us on a drive to York. Now, York is a walled city, and it's been there a very long time. Well, as old, you know, I'm talking many years ago here, and as old cars would, the old car broke down outside the walls of York.
York is in Yorkshire in England. And I just suddenly realized, you know, this is a very embarrassing situation. The car had broken down. My cousin was freaking out. And I said, the old smithy's up that way. It's only about 2 blocks.
What, did you know the area?
I had never been there before in this lifetime.
How about that? But you had a sort of deja vu event, right?
Absolutely. It was like I knew. I mean, unquestioningly, I knew exactly where that smithy was. And I figured that the old smithy would be the perfect place for a modern gas station. And sure enough, it had been converted.
How about that? Probably not just recently, either.
No. And I can't tell you how I remembered that, but I needed it, and there it was.
Hmm. Well, you know, from a molecular biology point of view, we inherit genes from our ancestors on down through the ages. And it's beginning to be understood that non-congenital things, these are things that affect us after we're born. We don't inherit them from our parents, like a trauma or an illness or some kind of radiation affects us. We pass that on to our children. And, of course, we normally see these things manifested as diseases or like diabetes or something like that, but it stands to reason, since we do inherit behavioral traits from our ancestors, that we could also inherit some kind of molecular memory from our parents or from our ancestors.
I really agree with that. I have to say that many of the things that I have experienced could be explained in those terms. It really could. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but I'm saying that it's a perfectly wonderful theory that may or may not be true, because I really don't know. But
well,
I do know that you ignore that kind of thing at your peril.
So
how many people have you ever known who were in situations where, had they not listened to their intuition, they would have been in real trouble?
Well, it's intuition. Now, this is a little different thing.
I'm saying they would call it intuition. Whether it is or not is another point.
I see.
But definitely, we have the capacity for much more knowledge than we normally use.
Yes, I believe that. I really do. And I don't think that's just biological either. I think there is, there are two different aspects to the human being. There's the 3D part, the part that that we shovel our French fries into every day. And then there's this multi-dimensional part. I don't know if it's fourth dimensional or fifth dimensional or what, but there's this driving spirit, this thing that animates the minerals and water that make up the human body to be the human body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me, I didn't hit my cough button. So then I guess that means that the spirit sort of shapes the body, because we make it move, right? We make it smile, we make it cry, we make it eat, we make it walk, we make it exercise. And I think it stands to reason that each time this spirit is in mortal form, that it generally, regardless of the genetics, takes on very similar appearances.
Yeah.
The way we comb our hair, the way we dress, the way we shape our body by exercise or by activity of one kind or another, the information we like to read and put into our head, And so possibly from mortality to mortality, we try to be the same person, right?
Well, in the Buddhists would say that we are not exactly the same person. Now, I don't know if I agree with that particularly, but their idea is that we have the same essence, but when we don't have the same persona. There's something to that, I think, but exactly what eludes me. The point that I'm trying to make here, though, is that, yes, when you said that that memories could possibly be passed down from parent to child, I don't want to leave that idea because it's a very, very fine explanation of many things that otherwise could be left as mysteries. But I don't think that's the whole issue. I think there's a lot more to it than just that.
But it is a multifaceted picture, and that's one of the facets that you don't want to ignore.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point I was trying to make.
Well, you know, when you're talking about Buddhists, too, one story comes to mind. The current Dalai Lama, when they were commissioned to go find the new spiritual leader, they took the toys from the childhood of the previous leader, and they went out to find a boy that would be about the right age. And as they went to the villages, they finally came to a young boy who not only recognized the toys as his, but knew where they came from and knew which ones were his favorites.
Yeah.
And that's how they chose the current Dalai Lama.
I know. Isn't that a fascinating story?
Well, that seems to...
It resonates, doesn't it?
Yeah. we'll talk about resonation a lot here. Doesn't that speak more loudly than a molecular memory? Because this boy genetically was not related to the previous spiritual leader. This was a completely different family line in a completely different village.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's correct.
You know, that kind of puts sand in the balance for something other than a molecular memory.
Well, you know, I happen to think that both are true.
Do they work in concert with each other?
They can. But I mean, I think that sometimes one is the case and sometimes the other is the case.
Wow.
I mean, there are more things in heaven and earth. Horatio, remember that?
Yes.
In our depth of in your philosophy. So I tend to think that there's an awful lot of things that we have swept under the rug that we should probably exhume.
I agree with that. One of the things that's come to my attention in the research of my life, not from the script that I was handed, the church that I grew up in, but later research, seem to indicate that, for instance, Jesus traveled to the East to learn from masters in the Eastern religions before returning to Nazareth at around age 29 to begin his mission. And, of course, I don't think that those Eastern masters have a monopoly on understanding of reincarnation, because certainly the American Indians believe in it, the Mayans believed in it.
And the Christians believed in it until the Council of Nicaea, when all references were expunged at the order, I think, of Empress Theodora.
I wonder why that was.
Well, the most amusing theory on that I've heard is that she had done things in a past life she absolutely didn't want people to remember. Well,
so she wanted people to know she was starting fresh.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but it definitely amuses me.
Well, I kind of... my own meditations on this, I don't really want to inject too much of myself into this program because, you know, there is one number squared that turns out to be negative,
mm-hmm.
and that is the imaginary number I. So I try not to put myself into the equation much. This is about the guest and their philosophies, but seeing that you and I have conversed quite a bit off the air and have discussed some things along this line, it seems that we accumulate knowledge from life to life. We may not be able to recall it all. And I know you said that people arrive with this innate knowledge, like how machines work or how chemistry works or how to compose music.
Well, obviously, some do and some don't.
yeah, but how are the memories wiped out or attenuated from life to life? Is this an agreement that we make, or is this...
I think it's an agreement. I mean, when you think about it, the game of life, to put it in those terms, the game of life is... We would sort of mess up the game as it's played here.
Well, let's explore that concept of a game a little bit more. What is the game?
Well, I think there's lots of games going on at the same time, but more essentially, you could say that we come here and we pretend that we don't know a lot of things that we really do know. And we act like it's entirely new to us when it isn't. And so that kind of keeps things interesting.
Hmm. Can you move a little closer to your telephone? You're getting a little quiet.
Am I getting a little quiet? Okay.
Oh, that's fine. That's much better there. So, by the game, we as a disembodied spirit sort of look at the opportunity of coming to mortal life as, I'm going to shut down most of my senses that I have now, because I'm sort of detached from time and I can see too much. Now I'm going to reduce the inputs into a mortal body and see what that is like.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Well, it seems to me, though, that when we get here, at least when we're little kids, we come up with a dream. We come up with what we want to be when we grow up. And then somewhere along the line, we become an adolescent, or we get told that we're going to take over the family business, or that we won't amount to anything. And the dream sort of gets set aside. But mm-hmm. some people do rediscover the dream. So how do they pick up enough memory to keep going with the original path that they had set forth before they became mortal again?
Well, I think that, again, is very variable from person to person. But now that you've asked it, and I'm looking at it, I have to say that in my experience, the dreams that you are talking about are generally physical universe dreams. There are only a very small percentage in any generation that sets about seeking enlightenment. If you really look into this, you will see that it is a really amazingly small amount of people. Now, when we have times of leisure, times where there's a little bit extra in, you know, we're not busy trying to survive every waking moment, then philosophy tends to become as it was in ancient Rome. It starts becoming, there's time for it. People can actually make some time to sit and think or to write, and all of a sudden we have a rebirth of philosophy. This is happening in America because America's a relatively wealthy country. There is time to smell the roses, if you like.
So as we take this time to pontificate, are there any modern philosophers rising to the challenge and arousing our faculties?
There are tons of them. But I have to say this, with my work, as with any other work, if you don't evaluate it for yourself, basically, you might as well go see a shrink and have them tell you what to think.
Wow.
Because the whole value of philosophy is getting people to think for themselves. If people are being told what to think, you know, the modern rude term for it is brainwashing.
Yeah. Well, we indoctrinate people. We tell people what the answer to the problem is instead of getting them to think about how to solve the problem.
Exactly. And one of the basic roots of dynamism, my philosophy, is the concept that within every person is the ability to solve their own problems.
So if that is a root of dynamism, then as people are trying to solve their own problems and they can't, they reach out to books or music or drugs or alcohol or friends or parties or whatever thrills, whatever they can replace it with, eventually the room gets quiet and they're right back where they started. How do we move beyond that? How do we get through the fog, the cycle? How do we get through the repeat to break out and continue our path of enlightenment?
Well, this of course, is why I've spent so much time working on dynamism and trying to put together something that can be used to sort out or to help the person sort out the problems of existence, which are not inconsiderable. I mean, I am in no way trying to minimize how difficult some of this stuff can be. But you know what? We have spent, the last at least two centuries trying to sort out what at one time was called natural philosophy, which basically means how the world is put together. And we've come a long way. We have. And this is wonderful. But that still leaves us with the huge questions of, why am I here? What the heck am I doing? Am I supposed to be doing it? All these questions, you know, that even the people that consider themselves very ordinary or not too special, these people come up with these questions too. And these are the questions that show us that we are more than just animals. That we are, you know?
Well, I guess the idea is to get to the point in our lives when we're ready to ask that question. I mean, are we like, well, I guess I was going to ask, you know, once we're mortal, are we still allowed to communicate on these other dimensional levels? Because to ask, why am I here, seems to open an understanding that we came from somewhere else and that we are going somewhere else when we leave here. So now we have a sense of dimensions.
Yes.
Are we, now that we're mortal, are we still allowed to communicate on those levels?
Who's going to stop us?
Yeah, who's going to stop us? Well, you know, I can see for myself that some souls appear to be very old, or that they remember more of who they are, why they're here, than that of others.
Yeah.
You know, what is our capability if we come here with that kind of recall? What if we come here with a clear understanding of why we're here, where we came from, where we're going?
I don't think we've had too many people like that among us lately. But if there's anyone out there that really thinks they've got that, please call me.
Well, I mean, are we like Leonardo da Vinci, sort of painting and designing but never building anything our whole lives, or are we given to help others become awake and enlightened?
No. I don't. If you believe in a deity that's planning all this, then I think your answer is clear. If you do not, then your answer is probably clear also.
All right. Well, let's...
Every person must come to their own recognition of this. I would not presume to speak for you.
Well, let's talk about that concept a little bit, about there being a deity or not a deity. Or maybe that's not the question at all. Maybe the question is there a deity or are we deities?
Right.
I think
That's a very loaded question.
Well, we try to load it up here.
I get that. Well, you want to know my philosophy on that?
I certainly do.
Okay. Well, I think that united we stand, divided we fall. I think we are deities. And it's about time we took some responsibility for it.
So if we think that we are handed a life and the universe acts upon us and there's nothing we can do about it, you know, what will be, that there are powers that be and they decide whether I am going to have or not have and there's nothing I can do about it, then I think you're a big deity person. You're a person that says, you know, if God is going to bless me, then the lottery winnings are going to show up in my mailbox. But you mentioned the word responsibility. If we are deities and we take full responsibility for the condition of our life, then that is altogether something different, that we are here to develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we have the potential to be this God, or we are God-like, or we are gods in embryo, so to speak, then we must also be given some of the powers of a god, right?
Yeah. I just want to say, though, most people don't want that much responsibility. It scares them.
So they shy away from the responsibility.
Yeah.
Or they say, turn it all over to God, and they shirk the responsibility.
Yeah.
So if someone were to say, have a three-sided die, and one of the choices was life is 100% destiny and there's nothing anyone can do about it, and the second roll is, well, it's 50-50. Life is destiny, but
I also have choice and power over myself. And the third choice is, there's no such thing as destiny. My life condition is my own choice and my own doing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three big areas.
They're huge and very important areas to consider. And for each person, they're going to come up with their own communion, if you will, with what I consider to be, I guess I would call it the infinite.
Well, a person that comes in for clearing, they're eventually in the process somewhere, they have to realize responsibility for their own condition, do they not?
Yes. I mean, that just happens naturally. It's not like we beat it into them or anything. Because we absolutely don't. It's kind of like if you have to tell somebody what they should be thinking or so on, then you've gone a very long way from the essence of dynamism, because we are trying to help people to sort out their own thinking and not give them ours.
Right, right.
Because if you look at somebody as a part of infinity, as an avatar, if you will, of the infinite, then you have to say, you know what, I got to get out of their way and help them sort out what they think and not push onto them what I think.
Well, that's definitely different than the establishment therapy.
Oh, absolutely different. Yeah.
So if a person has been to a therapist or they've been to some group workshop where they got a lot of input but they weren't able to really seriously do any outputting of what's inside of them, then clearing is the way they need to go.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, really, with workshops and stuff like that. Many of them are really wonderful. I mean, I've been to a number myself that I've thoroughly enjoyed. But I have to say, the problem is that you don't get to express. And it's very important for us as humans. If you can't express it to someone and it's just sort of stuck inside your head, then somehow it's not as valuable.
Well, it becomes part of that spiritual baggage, because as much as I make friends in workshops, I really don't want to talk about some things in front of just anybody.
Well, there's that too. I mean, I was forgetting the kind of workshop that tries to get you to, like, express your inner child or whatever.
Well, my inner child comes out pretty regularly.
I don't mean to be nasty, but they're basically a waste of time.
Yeah, but they're certainly a multi-billion dollar business anyway. I'm reminded of one very tall, very broad, smiling, popular workshop artist who gets people really, really fired up, and he makes a lot of money doing it. But everyone that I've talked to that's been to one of his workshops, although they do walk on fire, within a couple of weeks or a month, they're right back in the same rut that they were in.
Well, yes. And I don't know much about that particular one, but I have to say, you know, if you have to be kind of like hyped up by a bunch of drums in order to do something, that's kind of hypnotic. And I personally like to be in full control of my own faculties. So
I
have a hard time with that.
Sure. That, you know, there's another book out there, which, well, for all intents and purposes, it really doesn't say anything new, but the marketing plan on this book called The Secret is absolutely phenomenal. That a book with such an elusive name could be publicized as well as it is remarkable. And I think it's wonderful because it's getting people to think about the personal responsibility for their own life condition, but it doesn't really tool them up. It's more of a, like you said, a drumbeat. This is what you have to do. Put these things on your refrigerator and think about them and don't think about anything else and put positive energy out there and then, you know, the law of attraction will resonate with you and you'll automatically have checks arrive in your mailbox. And there are a plethora of testimonies to go with it. But it does sort of say in the book that without the tools, without being clear, without having a direct line for your life energy to flow, if it's all blocked up or hemmed up, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, I know. And that I have to hand it to them that that's one of the most honest assessments I've seen in years.
Well, when we crafted the idea of a spirit race, we wanted to help people understand the urgency of awakening and finding the tools to unlock the secret. So in the next hour, we're going to talk about clearing, the real thing. For those of you just tuning in or you have just been following our leads over the past few months, this hour is one you don't want to miss, because we might even talk about the purpose of life. Enid, you wrote a book called The Healing Spirit, and this was one of your most popular books. I like it. We understand immediately in that book that we live in a world of material things, yet we are not entirely of this world. We're taught that we're made in God's image, and yet we're told we can't be one with him. So help us understand why this is so confusing as we wrap up this hour.
Well, I don't say that we can't be. And whoever said it, I think should rethink it. Well, I'm sorry if that's too short for you.
Well, that's all right. How can we be one with it then? I mean, if there is just one deity out there and we have no part in it, for one thing, I don't personally believe that anymore. Because
no, I don't either.
I felt it.
But I have to say, you know what? It's not that we are one with it. It's more of a dichotomy than that. We are the one and the many.
Ah.
Is the message of that book. We have the potential to be whatever. So, in looking at that, that gives you a lot more room.
Well, it does. And it also loads us up with responsibility, because now how we live our lives and how we treat one another and how we look for opportunities to serve one another becomes a very important thing.
Yes.
It's no longer about accumulating all the toys. It's no longer about what we deserve in our retirement years.
Nope, it's not. And I really kind of doubt if it ever really was.
Well,
I mean, I think people have made it seem that way.
Those people that watch a lot of television, though, would believe that they deserve a Cadillac, and so they're going to own one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about that at all, is it?
No, it's not. It's about living a life that gives you pleasure, that gives you a reason to continue living, that gives you all the things that are really, really, really important to you that most people, honestly, I don't know how many people have said to me from one time or another that it took a major catastrophe for them to realize the importance of certain things. And that, to me, is a real tragedy.
Yeah, so we don't want our listeners to wait for a real tragedy before seeking out clearing. So as we wind up this hour, we want to remind you of that phone number. It's toll-free. It's 877-222-1492, and you need to specify, because you're calling the Columbus Group, you need to specify that you want to talk about Bellwave and that you heard about it on X Squared Radio. And then we will connect you with this one-on-one, absolutely guaranteed. That is to say, if you're not satisfied with it, we'll do what it takes to make it right. That's the number. It's 877-222-1492. Call, talk to Michael about Bellwave, and we'll set you up. There are only 48 openings because this is not a workshop. This is a one-on-one session. It's a week. It's 4 days long. You're going to spend a lot of time talking just about you, your favorite subject. And as you do that, you're going to be amazed at how your life is changing. And so as we wrap up this hour, I'm Brooks Agnew. My guest is Enid Vien, author, teacher, clearing practitioner. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go away. You've existed for thousands of years. The new book in the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrew, called Your Never-Ending Life, will shine light on memories you once dismissed as impossible. When you're finished with this book, you will realize why and how you can relish all the beauty and sadness in all your lives. Search your higher mind, find your soulmate, and know that you are never alone in this world. You can find the book easily by clicking the Universal Learning Series banner at X Squared Radio. Just about everyone owns an inkjet printer. You could buy a printer for less than a couple of tanks of gas, but the inkjet cartridges are costly. If you buy a color and black cartridge at a national superstore, you'll spend about $80. Well, those high-priced days are now over. If you click the 123 inkjet banner at X Squared Radio, you may be able to replace a cartridge for the price of movie admission for two. Plus, every time you shop at 123 Inkjets, you get a chance to win a free printer. How cool is that? Add to that the free shipping, and you have an untouchable bargain. Next time you run low on those vibrant color inks, think of X Squared Radio and start saving money. You know, dust is the place where the past meets the future. If you have done your genealogy and found that you have roots in the Irish or Scottish clans, then don't you think it would be a great idea to have a replica of your family crest? You can get a coat of arms, a ring, or even a family tartan that may help you or your grandchildren remember your ancestors. This is the time when the hearts of the children are turned to the hearts of the fathers. We only carry the best. So if you're ready to experience the glory of your past, you're ready to visit Scottish Heirlooms at X
Squared Radio.
Many people write us here at X Squared Radio wanting to know how to get prepared for the coming cataclysms. Well, we have been successful in acquiring the best affiliate in the world for emergency preparedness. NitroPak has been around for 18 years and can provide everything you need for life. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a year's supply of excellent quality foods and supplements for a single person or a whole family. Don't be left without the essentials of life. NitroPak is the name. Click the banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in a series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. Statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew, and here the results are always positive. This is where the past meets the future, and I can't think of a better way to talk about that than with clearing. Last month, by the way, X Squared Radio set another record. We maintained a 50% growth rate for the second quarter in a row. That is due entirely to you, the listener. I want you to keep writing us and telling us about your experiences and suggesting guests. Your participation in this program is what has made it what it is today. My guest tonight is a clearing practitioner, a trainer of clearing practitioners, and has been affecting the universe in a most powerful way. Bellwave LLC has been created to provide you more access to clearing as a method for unlocking the secret. It is not enough to make a list of things you want in life. It is not enough to think positively or just to think about being successful. If you only do this,
You are walking to the plate with the big end of the bat in your hands. You're not going to be successful. You might make contact with the ball, but it's not going anywhere. It is time you were given the tools to unlock the secret. You are invited to call toll-free to the Columbus Group at 877-222-1492 and specify that you wish to talk about Bellwave. If you mention X Squared Radio, you'll get the free screening and be able to schedule your time. Now, they only have 48 openings. There is a complete guarantee on the clearing process. Lodging, one meal a day, and the clearing are all included in the price. Again, this is not a workshop. This is a life change. If you are ready to clear away soul wounds, life overwhelm, or just break through to the success cycle in life with full flowing life energy, then call them today, 877-222-1492. Or you can click the Bellwave logo at X Squared Radio to access the phone number anytime. There will be no charge for accessing this archive. It's the only archive at X Squared Radio that will not require a subscription. So click and call today. The phone lines are open right now. If you want to be on the program and speak with Enid Vienne, then you'll have to call toll-free at X Squared Radio or BBS Radio and call us. I don't know if you can get live on the air, but at least you can get your question in. Please welcome back with me Enid Vienne. How are you? Are you ready for this? Okay.
Hello.
All right, here we go. Now, Enid and I are now on the same phone line, and hopefully we can keep it going this hour. We had no technical difficulties last hour that I can remember anyway. I've cleared it. So that means that we can take your phone calls. So if you'll call the toll-free numbers, if you're listening through X Squared Radio, or if you're listening through BBS Radio, you can now call in toll-free from the U.S., from Canada, or if you have free long distance anyway, you can reach us off planet, in the planet. If you can get to a tower, you can reach us. And Enid is back with us. Now, this hour, we're going to talk in a lot of detail about, as much detail as we can, about clearing. Clearing is an individual process. It's not something that is canned. It's not something that you can order a videotape and walk through on your own. But I did want to ask you, how is it different than the various other philosophies that are out there, Enid?
Well, more or less, it comes from the basic premise that each of us is essentially able to solve our own problems if somebody will just ask the right questions and get us to look at the things we need to look at, so that it comes from the idea that every individual is essentially part of the all that is, part of infinity, and therefore very capable of solving their own problems if they are sort of allowed to, rather than told that they are incapable, which of course is a big joke. There's nothing that we know of that can actually think the way man can think. I mean, we joke about things like, you know, he can't think his way out of a paper box. But in truth, people are amazingly powerful.
Well, they are. And in physics, we have a phenomenon we call the observation effect. We have incredible instruments that we can go down very, very small, electron microscopes, atomic force microscopy. Mm-hmm. And it does give us very good graphics of pollen particles or even large enzymes. We can look at very, very well with our electron microscope. But one thing people don't really think about is that we're actually bombarding the little beggar with electrons, and that does affect the thing that we're looking at. If you really want to get philosophical about it, the very photons that are striking the piece of paper that you're looking at or that you're reading are affecting the paper as they illuminate it for your eye. So even though your eye is a receive-only scanning device, the photons that you need to see by are affecting the object that you're looking at, if you really want to get philosophical about it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, well, here's a good example. Two people are sitting in a street-side cafe having lunch, and just outside their window, there's a car accident. Mm-hmm. And as witnesses, they are interviewed by the scene officer. As you might guess, the officer gets two versions of the accident. And then the cafe manager walks up and says, "Hey, you know we have a security camera that watches the street. Let's look at the film." So the four of them go watch the film. And the two witnesses get to reobserve the accident, even though they've already given their official version.
Yes.
But they both revise their record based on the reobservation of the accident. Mm-hmm. Thus, the future has been cleared to operate without scripts or considerations,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So this is what clearing is like, right? You get to go back and look at whatever that event was again, clearly.
Yes, until you can see it exactly as it was and as you experienced it.
And as a clearing practitioner, you're skilled at being able to ask the right questions based on the feedback or the input that the person is giving to that situation.
Yeah. That's very accurate.
So you're not scripting anything for them. You're just continually asking questions to get deeper and more clear so the person themselves can have the input.
Yes, because my answers are not your answers. We may agree on certain things, but that what is workable for me and what works for me isn't necessarily what works for you.
Hmm. But you do have a way of knowing when someone, even if they give you a rather dispassionate vocal answer, you're skilled in knowing whether there's some energy on the answer.
Yes, absolutely. Hello?
Well, that beep means that we have a caller. So, caller, if you could give us your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Leslie from Calgary, Alberta.
Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. I have a question, and you guys were discussing how we're influenced by other people telling us what we should do or how we should do it.
Uh-huh.
And I have three children, and I would like to know if you have any advice on avoiding doing that to our children.
Well, the main thing is try and realize that children are people too, which from the very fact that you're calling, I'm sure you do. But it's very important to realize that they are like beings. They're not just little copies of you. And
right.
So they have their own opinions on things. And when I was a kid, you know, the whole attitude was, you know, children should be seen and not heard. Well, I had a big mouth, so I got, you know, beaten up quite a bit. And fortunately for me, I would not shut up. But a lot of kids, they shut up and they stop saying their truth. And that's really sad. So
right.
Just try and let your kids tell you their truth, even if they sound funky to you.
Okay. when they do, would you think that encouraging those ideas, like, for example, our oldest daughter is really into animals and saving animals and helping animals.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage that, but I want to avoid maybe overdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing to encourage her if her ideas or beliefs change. Is over encouraging her kind of imprinting and influencing her in that way, or?
Well, you know, it's a fine line we walk sometimes. You have to do just what you think is best, and just know that you have her best interest at heart.
Okay.
So hold to that.
Okay.
Because I can't tell you, because every situation is going to be different.
Right.
You know, but you can definitely make a difference in your child's future by letting her know that her opinions and her ideas are important.
Okay.
I think it's kind of neat to watch kids, what they're really interested in, whether it's space travel or helping animals. I know my youngest daughter showed a real propensity for helping animals and wanted to work in a zoo for a long time. And I took a class from a woman who was trying to help this one woman who couldn't figure out what she wanted to do with her life. She was just all confused and tried a bunch of things and wasn't really excited about it. And one day she showed up and happened to have a magazine with a picture of a gorilla on the front of it. And I don't know what possessed the woman who was trying to help her, but she said, "What's in the magazine?" She said, "Oh, it's an article about gorillas. I've always loved gorillas." And of course, a little light went off in her friend and said, "What do you mean? You always liked gorillas." So as it turns out, she hooked her up with somebody at the zoo, and she ended up becoming a sort of a surrogate mom to help bottle feed baby gorillas, and her life just totally turned on. And I guess what happens, Leslie, is a lot of times parents say, "Oh, gee, that's so silly. You're never going to amount to anything if all you want to do is save animals." And then the kid loses that zeal, and later in life they try a bunch of things and they're not happy. And it's because they've lost that child's dream. So I would take care not to erase the dream from memory, but kind of keep it alive, and maybe not feed it to where it becomes a fanaticism, but keep it alive until they can make up their own minds and listen to their input.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what we've been trying to do. I just want to make sure that I'm not overdoing something if she says she's interested in something, or any of our kids, just not to overdo it and just focus on that. But I didn't know if that would also influence them to not be open to new ideas and stuff. So that's great.
I don't know. If your husband's not Dr. Doolittle, I don't think you can really overdo it. Kids have a real healthy curiosity, you know, I just try to feed it. let them experience everything that's healthy about that they can.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you guys very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling, Leslie.
You're welcome. Bye.
Enid, I had a question handed to me. When sometimes people, when they go out exploring in their own minds, or like these mathematicians we were talking about in our last hour, they reach out into the great cosmos of knowledge and they pull in pure knowledge. Sometimes they have a sort of ascension experience.
Yeah.
Is an ascension experience, can it be dangerous?
Not really. I mean, it's not dangerous if you don't get scared. It's like anything else, you know.
Well,
if you freak out, then it's probably dangerous.
Well, you know, when someone has an ascension experience, they sort of go through an awakening. It's a real awakening, like they just turn on. It's like opening their eyes for the first time.
Yes.
Is it good, is it a good idea to seek the assistance of a clearing practitioner if you've had a recent ascension experience?
It could be. I mean, sometimes they're just wonderful and there's no big deal. But sometimes the person gets scared or gets too nervous and doesn't really understand what's been going on with them. In that case, I'd say definitely go find a clearing practitioner. Go talk to somebody about it.
Is it a good idea to make major life decisions after you've had an ascension experience?
Yes, it is. But give it enough time to settle in. Don't just kind of go off and sell everything and move to China.
What's enough time?
I'd say at least a week.
At least a week. So if you've...
And if you're still all confused, that would be the time to go seek out a clearing practitioner. Because, confusion doesn't really get you very far.
Yeah, well, most people that I've talked to that have had an ascension experience, and I guess for those of you who don't know what one is, it's sort of like resurrection without dying. You just, it's like moving to the next level in life, and you never go back to what you were.
Mm-hmm.
There's often a tremendous amount of joy that accompanies this experience.
Yes.
And, that can be, sometimes it's like winning a lot of money. It can be very traumatic to someone.
Well, more than traumatic, I don't look at joy as particularly traumatic, but I what I see is that I've seen people go to seminars and have like a huge revelation and then do things that are long-term they regret because they hadn't thought it through. And they were busy in the joy of it all. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's wonderful. We should all have ascension experiences as often as possible. But at the same time, one has to use one's intuition and one's head to decide, where am I going to go with this? What am I going to do with this? Is this something that I should follow, as in change my entire life, or is this something that I really need to think about further? Because I've had enthusiasms myself where I'm like, yes, let's get on with it, and then after a while it's sort of like, I think I was just in the moment. It wasn't quite what I really wanted. So I'm saying this not to discourage people, because if you have happened to have had an ascension experience, this is probably one of the most important things that could ever happen in your life, because it's an awakening and it's the beginning of a new life, no matter what you decide to do with it.
Well, now that's interesting. When a person has this awakening, it's sort of like opening your eyes for the first time and saying, I am. And this person becomes, for all intents and purposes, a sovereign being. What's a sovereign being?
That's a being who's in control of his own destiny and his own universe. I mean, a sovereign being is a being that is operating from full responsibility. And by that, I do not mean duty. I mean full responsibility. And it's a marvelous state of affairs. When somebody hits that, their life changes. There is no way it couldn't.
So they're no longer the subject of manipulation.
No, not at all.
Well, can dynamism
unlock the secret to becoming a sovereign being?
That is the whole issue. That's what we're all about. That's why we are doing this, because, let's face it, we like people. We want to see them happy. We want to see them winning. We want to see them being all that they can be, truly. And by that, I mean a lot. Because there's a lot of traps out there. There's a lot of things out there that sound good, but when you actually come to do them, they don't quite get you where you think you were going. They get you somewhere else. And so it's been a really marvelous journey and a really important one.
Because so a sovereign being would be like someone who can negotiate the minefield of life with full awareness where all the traps and pitfalls are. We're not blown around by various marketing plans. We can see through those.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I'm sure there's always a smarter rat out there. but the truth is that if you know what you're looking at, it's very difficult to take a being who's in a sovereignty state and deceive him. It's very difficult.
Well, one of the things, one of the terms that came up in the last hour, we were talking about the term resonance or resonate. In the book, The Secret, they do talk about, you know, when you put out certain energies, it resonates with other energy and other matter in the universe, which is a little bit like standing your acoustic guitar up in the corner of your living room and then turning the stereo up loud, and then all of a sudden it sounds like somebody wrapped one of those strings on the guitar with a little hammer because it just rings out.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, what happened was a certain note coming out of the speakers of your stereo resonated with a certain string on that guitar, and the guitar absorbed the energy and then rang out in that note. So that's what we mean by resonate. And that beat means we have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Dr. Brooks. My first name is Juliana, and I'm calling from Florida. And I want to say thank you so much. You have the most incredible shows. I'd like to speak with Enid.
Sure.
I was just listening to your show, and Enid, I heard what you said about ascension, and then I also heard what Dr. Brooks said about ascension is this incredible joy. I've been wondering for such a long time exactly how would I know when this ascension process would start, and when Dr. Brooks said a while ago, it's basically this joy that you feel, and you have this feeling in your life that everything up until now is just gone, and now I feel like I'm lifting up all day. I have this incredible joy. I have this awesome love. Everything around me looks so bright. It's unbelievable, and I truly believe that's what's happening. And something triggered this in me last night because I called into a show that I was listening to last night with Don and Wynn, and they had a lady on there that was channeling information from a dolphin. And I asked them if this little dog, because I rescue abused and abandoned dogs and cats, and I have this incredible little dog that when she barks or when she speaks, she sounds like a dolphin. So they told me that this little dog was with me in Lemuria. Last night, when I went to sleep, I had this incredible dream. I actually was in Lemuria. I was in this incredible, beautiful, crystal clear pool, swimming with this dolphin, which is now my dog. We were communicating, and one of the people that was there watching me and this little dog swim was Don from Don and Wynn's show of PBS. he was a great master there, and he was watching us swim. When I woke up this morning, it was like some kind of a switch went on in me. It triggered something. I also discovered last night when I went back to Lemura what my deep, deep fear is of fire. And I was shown that in that lifetime, that's how myself and my dolphin died, was in a huge fire that happened there.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. What? I'm not quite clear on what your question is. Sounds like you had a very interesting experience, though.
Right. It's not so much a question. It's that you answered a question that I had.
I see. Yeah.
By talking about the ascension process, as well as what Dr. Brooks said about the feeling of ascension being an incredible joy, a feeling that you've left everything behind up until now, and almost like I stepped into a whole nother world, another life.
Good.
I can hear the joy in your voice.
I can too.
You know, you have great energy, and you know, that's what clearing is about, I think, is just to let the input from the person contribute to the session. And if, you know, the energy is good, and, you know, there's nothing that's harming you, it's helping you, it's making you have happiness, then that's the goal. That's what you want to reach.
Yes, exactly. So thank you so much for your show. Thank you for what you're doing for humanity, because every show you have, Dr. Brooks, is just a little bit better and a little bit better.
Well, even though we have technical difficulties?
Definitely. That's what's good about it. That's what's good about BBS. It lets us all see that we're all just humans down here, learning and growing together.
Uh-oh. Don has revealed that to everybody. Now we're in big trouble.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
I'm
Juliana.
I'm so glad we helped.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yes, we will.
Bye-bye.
All right, as we finish up this last half hour, I know it seems like 3 hours, it goes so fast that it's just hard to believe. One of the things people talk about a lot in this genre is the term manifestation. We manifest things. We're sort of co-creators with the universe. And we certainly, if we haven't in the last 2.5 hours, established that we are individually creators of our own life condition. And we should take responsibility for that. And if we cannot or not able to, then a clearing practitioner would probably be the best toolbox available.
Mm-hmm.
Then the thing that you do when you've got that, you're now empowered, you're now a sovereign being, you're now making your own decisions, you've been given the keys to your own car, so to speak, now you have to manifest something with it.
Yeah.
How do we go about that?
Well, the main tool that we have in our toolbox for manifesting is really very simple. It's called will.
Well, you have to have one, right?
You have to use it.
Ah.
Because if you don't use it, then nothing's going to happen. A lot
so
of people sit around wishing.
Manifestation is not a spectator event, is it?
No, it is not a spectator sport. It is definitely, it requires you to be involved in the process. And it requires you to get on with it, you know? In other words, it requires you to actually, you know, you have a great idea, let's say. And this idea is like a dream for you. It's like, it would be marvelous if it happened. And for a lot of people, that's where it exactly stops.
Oh, I see. So they never take action.
Well, it's not exactly a question of taking action. It's a question of action follows the will.
if you will something, if you want it badly enough, yeah, you're going to make it happen. But how do you make it happen? Is it all a question of using a lot of energy? No, I don't think so. It's more a question.
Well, this is the thing that I guess the bone I have to pick with the secret crowd, and that is that you don't worry about how. You just put the picture on your refrigerator and you put your energy out there, and the universe takes care of how.
Well, okay, but in my experience working with people of all these years, no, the universe doesn't take care of how. You take care of how. If you don't, then, as I said, it tends to just sit there.
Well, we were just about to write the how-to book on how to make all your dreams come true. I don't know if we're ready to do that in a half an hour, but let me ask this question. Not everybody is a natural healing spirit, are they?
No. For some people, they have to work at it.
Yeah, so...
But if they want it, and they want to be that, they will work at it, and it will happen because they will it. They will make it be so. And this is a bone I have to pick with a lot of people in religious subjects, which is that they want a God figure to give them a Christmas present. Well, I'm sorry, but life doesn't work that way.
Right, right. You don't just sit on your doorstep and will it and wish it and it shows up in your driveway as the universe is taking care of how. You have to figure out the pieces that it takes.
There are logistics in the physical universe. We live in a physical universe which seems to escape the attention of some people. But we do. We live in a physical universe. And the physical universe has rules. And
well,
the rules, and we rail against the rules a lot.
So we're really talking about three spheres here, right? We're talking about the sphere of self and the sphere of, well, those immediate people around us, maybe our family or our group or our spouse or whatever. And then the sphere of work, right? The real world, the one where we make things happen.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to flow our energy from one sphere to the next.
Certainly.
And what stops us?
We stop it. That's the only thing that can stop it. I mean, think about it. If you're hell-bent for election to do something, who's going to stop you?
Well, now you're talking about intention or purpose. If a person really knows their purpose, really knows their intention, and they apply themselves, apply that intention, they can't be stopped, can they?
Well, let's put it this way. They probably can be stopped, but it would take, you know, a fairly large army.
I hope they don't mass the armies, because I think that generally you're right. When people don't succeed, and by the way, is success the best teacher?
I don't know. I've seen people learn lots of things from success, and I've seen people learn lots of things from failures, too. I don't necessarily think life is always quite the way we think it ought to be. I mean, sometimes things are powerful lessons that we never thought of as a lesson while we were going through it because we were too busy ranting and railing against it, you know. But,
right.
And then later on we go, wow, I learned a lot from that.
Well, hopefully they didn't set up, you know, a mirror that reflects them back into a false future over and over again, and they repeat that. Then maybe if you do have a failure like that, you need to go talk through it with a clearing practitioner so you can remember it properly and then move on.
That's a very good idea, and I would definitely recommend that. What I'm trying to say here, though, is that not everything in life is a lesson. Some things are random. Other things are a big lesson. But we don't necessarily know their lessons while we're in the middle of them.
Doesn't feel like a lesson while you're in it, does it?
No, it feels like a punishment. Generally, you know? And that, you know, you hear people, sometimes I hear people say, there's got to be a lesson in here somewhere.
I mean, some of that stuff's unrecognizable. Like, for instance, what's an insisted memory?
An insisted memory is a memory that has become part of your thinking. It's in there, and you never think about it because it's become what I call a given. In other words,
it doesn't feel wrong.
No, it feels very, very right, but it also upsets you tremendously in most cases. It's not a nice thing.
So we don't see it. It's occluded.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
And
well, can clearing get to these insisted memories? I mean, if people don't have, do they have energy on them? Or how do you get to these in clearing, these insisted memories?
Well, once the person has kind of learned to relax and let whatever it is come forward, generally speaking, they show up on their own. You don't have to do a whole lot, which is one of the nice things about it. I mean, we get to work and relax and just let the other person do all the work.
It's
a joke in a way, but really, on a more serious note, a person, once he relaxes in clearing and lets the practitioner guide him, and you've got to have a really good sense of team to do that. But once a person does that, it's amazing how easily it comes forward. And I'm not going to give you all the secrets on this radio show, so forget it.
Yeah, but once you, even an insisted memory, and by the way, I don't know if that's coming out clearly on the radio or not, we're talking about like a cyst in a body, where your body will build sort of a globule around a foreign body, where it doesn't hurt you, but your body also can't get rid of it because your body doesn't recognize it as a foreign object any longer because you've built a cyst around it. So we're talking about an insisted memory that your body or your psyche builds a friendly coating over it so that now you've got this assumption inside of you, shall we call it,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel any energy on it. But it's guiding you in the wrong direction, and you're making the same mistake over and over again, and you don't know why.
That's exactly correct. Now, these insisted memories, the reason that you don't find them is because you think they're true. In other words, whatever conclusions you drew at the time, you think is true. So you never look at them.
Yeah, I could list a few in alphabetical order, I'm afraid.
Okay. That's the trouble with them. And in other words, you think this is just the way it is.
So these are really, this is the core of scripts, right?
Yes. Yeah, wow. That's the core of the script handling level. And
these can come from religious training or
mother,
right. You know,
prejudice,
whatever prejudices you were, even, and this is really a hard thing to realize, is even things that you didn't believe in, that you railed against, these things can still be there with a load of energy on them.
Oh, my goodness.
Influencing you in the opposite way. I'm never going to be like my mother. What do? You do the opposite, and it feels so right.
Wow. I actually made a conscious decision when I was young that if I ever became a dad, and I did, that I would never say the things to my kids that my parents said to me. And I stayed aware enough as a dad, I never did. I never said those silly things like, because I said so. So I just decided I wasn't going to do it, and I didn't do it. But I see people in the grocery doing it all the time.
Yes, and you know, part of what I'm saying, though, is not that you're always going the way you said you'd never go. A lot of times it's that you are doing exactly the opposite. In other words, your mother never disciplined you. Now you become a disciplinarian.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. This can be very deadly.
Well, let's make sure that we make a mention of all the websites. We've got dynamism.org, right?
Yes.
And then you've got books you've written. The Healing Spirit.
Yes.
Scars on the Soul. That's a great book.
Oh, thank you.
Soulmates, one of my favorites.
How to find them and keep them.
Yes.
What's the use of finding your soulmate if you promptly blow it?
Exactly. Another one, Mood Swings. I like that book. We have it here at the office, and I read a page at least once a week in that book. There's so much wisdom in that book. And then In Search of the Golden Nuggets. And there are a lot of tables and charts and diagrams in that book that will kind of help you get an idea where you are in your life as far as a self-check. But I highly recommend that if you have participated in any of these life improvement efforts and you're not getting anywhere, you seem to be doing the same things over and over again, or you are in life overwhelm, you've lost a job or a spouse, or you've been kicked out of college or something, you probably need to seek out a clearing practitioner, and there are not many. I mean, there are people out there who call themselves clearing practitioners. Trust me, you have been listening to this program for a while. You know to trust me. That's not clearing. This is the real thing. I'm going to give you the phone number one more time. It's toll-free, 877-222-1492. Even if you're listening to this as an archive months from now, go ahead, call the number. It's free. Tell them you want to talk about Bellwave, and we'll hook you up with a clearing practitioner. And this is a guaranteed process. It's one-on-one. You're not going to be going into a group where you're saying, I have this problem, and my name is Dave, and everybody says, hi, Dave. It's not one of those. This is one-on-one, and you get to talk about your favorite subject, you. And that's what it's there for. Right, Enid?
You bet. You bet.
And I would not be speaking as one. You know me better than that, as one who has not had the experience myself. So, yes, I have been to visit Enid, and we spent many hours together going through this process of clearing, and I found it very enjoyable. I found new ways of putting my intention on my voice and getting my message across with energy without you seeing my facial expressions or the wild gyrations of my hands as I'm speaking, which was shunting a lot of the energy of what I say. So now you are getting the full intent of Brooks Agnew through the microphone. And you have Enid Vien to thank for that.
Well, thank you. That's quite a testimonial.
Yes, it is. And I do it proudly and gleefully and joyfully. And you can go to bellwave.org. As we modify and improve the website, you'll be able to see the testimonies of those who are willing to let themselves be shown to you about clearing before and after, what it's like. And I can tell you, I've been to a lot of workshops myself, spent a lot of money on them, had a wonderful time, met a lot of great people. But trust me, it's not clearing. Clearing is the toolbox for unlocking the secret. If you have bought the book, The Secret, and you have actually read it, or you've watched the DVD, then you qualify to call for clearing. Now, I realize there's only about 3 million people out there that have done that this week, but that's okay. You can line up, and we'll take you one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Enid, is there anything that you would like to add? I totally want your input now.
Okay. I think somebody just called in.
Oh, they did. First name and where you're calling from, caller.
My name is James, and I'm in Calgary, Alberta.
Hi, James. Boy, we're popular in Calgary.
That was my wife that called, actually.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I was actually had a question, because I'm very interested in this clearing process. And like you said, a lot of things are scripted, and I'm wondering where would you go about finding a qualified practitioner? And what to look for.
Well, that's the toll-free number. I don't think you can call it toll-free from Canada, but we can figure out a way for you to call. I can give you another phone number. If you want to email me after the program, I will email you a phone number you can reach from Canada. But this is the only way. If you're going to get a hold of Dynamism, you have to go through dynamism.org. We also practice that dynamism here at Bellwave. Bellwave is just another arm. We're working together.
Mm-hmm.
You can call Bellwave at the phone number that I'll give you when you email me, because if I give you that number, that's going to just bury this office. We give you just the toll-free number for those people in the States to call. But if you'll write me at bagnew@x2-radio.com, that email address is right on X Squared Radio's website. And I'll send you, James, the phone number personally.
Awesome.
And then you can call.
That's great.
Cool.
Great. I guess that's all the only question I really had.
Wonderful. I'm glad we had an answer.
Yeah. And just want to say, you know, I love your show as usual, and I got a lot out of this show, so that's good.
Wonderful. Please spread the word.
I do. That's great. Okay, have a good night, you guys.
Thank you, James.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Enid. Now, you got about 90 seconds. It's all Enid's show.
You're kidding. What am I going to say, Brooke?
You don't want me to ask a silly question, do you?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me a silly question.
Well,
this is your show, not mine, really.
I just wanted to know, you get great joy out of this, out of helping people like this.
Yeah, I do.
And do you train clearing practitioners?
Yes, we do. We have the Dynamism Institute, and that's what it is designed for. And it's a not-for-profit group, and that's basically all it does. Right now, we pretty much support it ourselves with the help of certain people that, you know, believe in it. But it's my joy. It's what I really want to be doing. And when I'm not doing that, I'm usually painting or writing poetry. But, you know, I like painting a lot. It was my first love. But I tell you what, it doesn't hold a candle to seeing somebody come alive and start reaching for their dreams again. It just doesn't.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's the joy, isn't it? To see someone look up for the first time into their own face and say, oh, I know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And
all right. Well, that brings us to the end of another 30-minute, 3-hour program of X Squared Radio, and I appreciate my guest tonight, Enid Vienne, clearing practitioner extraordinaire. And if you want to be a clearing practitioner or you want to participate in clearing, you have the websites, you have the phone numbers. Call, write, contact them somehow, some way, and we will unlock the secret for you. Enid, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're more than welcome. Anytime, Brooke.
Oh, I may take you up on that.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Earth Explorers, this is Brooks Agnew, and this has been another great session of X Squared Radio. It will be free. You will not have to subscribe to listen to this program in its entirety, although I may be highly tempted to edit out the technical problems we had in our first hour. Just for my own sanity, I wish you peace, and I will play my exit. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio, saying, peace, Earth Explorers.